Amen. Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter 24. Amen. Appreciate those been able to go out this week. We have door hangers to hang. Amen. That Life Resources door hanger. We're trying to get out there. QR codes on the back that they can scan and go to our website. Have some answers that people commonly have answered biblically. Amen. So that's a blessing. And then a couple different groups were able to go out this week and do some new move-in ministry type stuff where we actually get a list every month in a four-mile radius of our church of all the different ones that move into our area. And we'll send them a postcard, and then we want to follow that up about a month or two in the arrears, follow that up with an actual visit. And so that is a blessing. And these are ministries that you can be involved in and should be involved in. Amen. We need to be reaching out to our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so very, very, very important. We were at a youth rally on Friday, and our youth did great. They brought home awards on both sides, all three. Amen. The Bible quiz, sword drill, and memory. And so it was a clean sweep on both sides. That was a blessing. And they put a lot of hard work into it, and I appreciate their effort. And their awards are on the foyer wall. As you come in, you'll see those two big plaques, and we kind of track their awards there throughout the rally season. But at the rally, there was a missionary that was visiting the church there, True Light, and his testimony was very interesting. He was able to give up and give a testimony, and he's retired military. And one of the interesting things that I thought interesting about his testimony was he's serving in his local church. He's looking for a place to serve. I don't know if anybody else picked up on this, amen. He's looking for a place to serve, and there was just no opportunities. There was no positions. He ended up just taking a position of a sound room guy. He really didn't want to be there, but it is hard to fill the position of sound room. Isn't that right, Brother John? It is difficult. I think it's an awesome thing. I get to sit up there here and there, and whenever I'm not, like, when I'm not doing Sunday school and all, I'll sit up there and all that. It's a really needed position. You could, if something weird happens out here with the sound, you can react and help and keep Zoom going, things like that. You just want to make sure that the sound room guy is paying attention to the service, amen. Amen. That's why you need to call out their name here and there, see if they at least nod like John's doing. Amen. Amen. And but he was looking around, and the only thing that needed to be done around their church was a sound room. So he took that, and he just felt like he wasn't being used and all that, and then ultimately surrendered to the field of Zambia. So not being used in my local church, that's it. I'm going to Zambia. Amen. Anyway, I praise the Lord that he's going there and going to be a help in different things, and that's fine. But here's what God has given all of us to do. And by the way, I would be fine. I would be fine with just this role. He's given us the opportunity to, when we leave this building. By the way, church is here just to equip us to go out. Amen. I would just go out, meet your neighbors, evangelize your area for Christ. Amen. That's a ministry that is never accomplished, it seems like. And so, there are cults out there that do a whole lot better at getting out and meeting people in neighborhoods than we are, amen, that we do. Amen. The Jehovah's False Witnesses, amen, have been through our neighborhood out here 20 times before we get through it once, amen. And because they do it because it's tied to their in a sense, salvation, keeping a good graces with the Watchtower Society. They're doing it for the wrong reason. Amen. But how much more should we do it for the right reason? Amen. And so if you need something to do in the ministry, our first responsibility is to get out and tell people about Jesus. You say, well, that's not my job. That's your job. No, God's given us all the ministry of reconciliation. When you got born again, amen, and baptized, join our church, our group here as a group, we reach out with the gospel. That is our commission. That's what God gave, to go out and to teach and to preach the gospel, the good message, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, went in the grave, and rose again to forgive their sins, to save them from their own sins. So anyway, all of that said, you're going to hear me preach a lot and talk a lot about our responsibility this month to go out and to be a witness for Jesus Christ, amen? You say, I'm too busy to do that. Then you're too busy. It's a primary thing. It's a primary responsibility as a believer, amen? And so I know Micah and I were able to go out on Sunday, and we were going, and some days you go out and knock doors, nobody answers. Those those Ring doorbells and all that, what a blessing those are, amen. It's pretty much, if there's a Ring doorbell on there, you might as well just leave the material on the door. They ain't coming, amen. I think I've only had like one or two people come to the door with one of those in a long time, amen. But that's okay. It's okay. You still go. You leave the materials. You were there. Praise God. And we're going through all that. And we went into another area, and I just threw up a prayer to God, and I said, God, it sure would be nice if we could find someone that we could reason with today. A prayer like that. And I don't usually pray that way as far as someone to reason with. I would not typically say that. For whatever reason, yesterday, that's what I prayed. Man, we get to this next door, and this guy opens the door named Anthony, and we spent the next at least half hour, and it was truly reasoning with him. He rejected. I've ran into this to a lot recently, and it's been good for me to have to work through. He rejects really the word of God as the word of God. He rejects God's word as being infallible, as inerrant, as being God's word, and he really built up this position that human reason, whatever you believe is right, that's truth. What you believe. Now, you hear me preach about this and all that, but have you ever encountered somebody? Micah said he never encountered someone that strong. Micah and I, we were trading back and forth. It just happened to me, my door. Kind of glad it was, amen, because I really enjoyed that. But it was labor. I mean, labor in trying to work with him back and forth on where he was and trying to get him to see Christ in the scriptures. It was rough. It was work. I left there exhausted from that meeting. Amen. But it was sad in one sense, but it was exciting because I know he has a lot to think about. Amen. And God gave amazing, amazing things that were brought up in that whole thing. But the point is this, is just to say, how is that guy ever going to be confronted if we're not out there trying to reach people like that? He'll die and go to hell thinking that he did what he thought was right and that should be good enough, but it's not. The Bible says that's not what it takes to be born again, amen, to have your sin forgiven. So anyway, I just want to encourage you. It is our responsibility, and if you're not going out and telling people about Jesus Christ, not like I'm going to the store, I hand it out of track, and we should do that, but we should purposefully be going out to talk with people about Christ. We should be doing that. Amen. It's our responsibility. And if we're not doing it, how's the job going to get done? Amen. We send missionaries overseas and we kind of expect them to witness, don't we? I mean, if we had a missionary overseas and all they're doing is living and going to work and coming home and, hey, when I go to the grocery store, I give somebody a tract. If that's all they were doing, what would we do? We'd stop supporting them. How many here would be no longer supported if that was, because we're all missionaries. It's not like that group. Show me in the Bible where it says missionary. It doesn't say missionary, does it? Ah, interesting. That prove all things, hold fast that which is good, gets you every time, amen. The point is that once we're born again, we all are given that ministry of reconciliation. It doesn't matter where we're at. Right? And if someone's not going to be a mission, I love it when you have people say, I want to go to the mission field. But wait a second, you're not even going on visitation now. You're not going to be a missionary overseas until you're first a missionary here. Amen? And so I just want to encourage us as a church. I believe if there's one area we're lacking in, that's it. That's it. And I'm glad that we pass out tracts and I'm glad that we were involved in the tent ministry. That is amazing stuff and we should be on and on and on. But we also need to make sure we're reaching out and utilizing the tools that God has given us. This is an amazing passage that we're going to look at today. We're in Luke 24. And have you ever tried to figure out why some people get it and some people don't? It seems like you talk to some people and they're like blinded to the truth. You talk to other people and it's like, wow, they're ready to receive the truth. This passage today will really help in reference to that. Luke chapter 24, verse number 13. And this will be after Christ's resurrection, that same day, that Sunday, where he comes upon two that are walking to the town of Emmaus, the road to Emmaus. We're in Luke 24, verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So here you have two walking, and on the, it's almost like a road, but instead of cars, everybody just walking. And they're walking, and Jesus must be walking a little bit faster than them. Amen. Catches up with them. And now Jesus, just imagine, Jesus now is walking with them on this road. They're talking about what's been going on in Jerusalem there with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the high holy days and all that that's happened. And now they're walking, they're leaving Jerusalem, heading to Emmaus. And it says this, that as they were walking, it says, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. This is amazing that this takes place. And you just want to understand, sometimes when we're talking to people, they are not able to get it at that point. Their eyes are holding that they're not able to get it for whatever reason. We're going to see some reasons here in this text, which become very important. But just know that we want to be careful not to get overly frustrated with people that just, they're like, it's easy. It's easy to believe. Not for everybody. It's easy to believe when it's time to believe. You might say, yeah, but anybody can get saved at any time. That is not what the Bible teaches. Now, I believe anybody can get saved, whosoever will, but not everybody's willing. No man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. That's why we look for conviction on someone's heart. Someone comes forward, you know, or we're talking to someone wherever, and they're interested in salvation. Who wouldn't be interested in salvation? I don't want to go to hell. Anybody here want to go to hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and a fire that's not quenched and a worm that dieth not, potentially a flesh-eating worm? Anybody interested in going there? Absolutely not. And so, yeah, if you say to somebody, do you want to go to heaven? Well, yeah, everybody wants to go to heaven. But that's not how one goes, just because you want to go. That desire to go is good, but there's a process that God has put forth, and it includes you understanding your condition as a sinner. You have to believe God that you are in condemnation right now. You have to believe that not only you're a sinner, but there is a payment for that sin. The wages of sin is death. You have to believe that. You have to understand. You have to receive that. This guy that we were talking to yesterday wasn't willing to receive that. He didn't believe it. He didn't believe that he deserved to go to hell. He didn't believe that he was a sinner. He didn't believe any. He didn't believe that because he's good. He's good enough right now. You see? And so when you're talking to someone about the Lord, sometimes depending on where they're at, their eyes are holding. They're not able to believe. It's like God speaking to them in parables. Why? Because at that moment, at that time, they are not ready to be saved. Some work. The parable of the sower. There's four different types of soils. One is hard. Do you know that a hard-hearted person can't be saved? It's impossible. A hard-hearted person can't be saved because the analogy is given by the Lord that when the seed, the word of God, is preached, what happens to those seeds? It stays on top. To be saved, where do the seeds have to go? Into the soil. So if the seeds can't get in, that soil's the soul. The seed is the word of God. If that seed, if that word can't get into their soul, they cannot be saved. There are a lot of people walking around right now that cannot be saved. Maybe some in this room. And they can't be saved because their heart's hard, you see. But we can help soften that heart. We can help get that soil prepared in the heart so that it can receive seed. And that's just as much a part of a soul winner's job as leading someone to that throne of grace to find that mercy and grace sometime need so they can call on Christ for salvation. All of those aspects are needed. Well, Jesus walks up beside, it says here, their eyes were holding that they should not know him. They didn't know who it was. There's just this guy walking, amen, heading to Emmaus. They didn't know it was Jesus. Verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Can you imagine? Can you, By the way, I love studying how Jesus talked with people. The questions he asked, how he reasoned, all of this. This is amazing. Wouldn't this be fun to be in the Lord's shoes right here, walking up and being able to say stuff like this? Hey, what y'all talking about? Looks like you're all sad. Something going on? Right? That's amazing. Amen. He says in verse number 18, and the one of them whose name was Cleopas answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Don't you know what's going on, buddy? Verse number 19. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Man, as soon as they were given opportunity, they're just opening the floodgates, telling this guy, what do you mean? You don't know who we're talking about? It's Jesus and the chief priests. They condemned him to death, and he was an innocent guy, and they did all these things, and all this has been going on. He went in the grave, and lo and behold, the women went to the grave early this morning, and they went there, and the stone was rolled away, and they had a vision. They saw, and he wasn't even there. He wasn't in the tomb. We don't even know what's going on. So they unloaded on Jesus. They didn't even know it was Jesus. Could have been a stranger, as they surmised. And he said, this is what's been happening. Here's what Jesus said in verse number 26. Verse number 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Can you imagine how things shifted there? Jesus comes up. They don't know who it is. They're talking. He says, what things? They unload on him. And then he comes back and he says, you said, oh, ye fools and slow of heart to believe. Shouldn't you be believing everything the prophets have given? Can you imagine just that whole thing transpired and how it's gone back and forth to this point? Absolutely amazing. But then in verse number 27, Jesus does something amazing with them. Now, we already know by verse number 25 and 26 that their heart is slow to what? Believe. Their heart is slow to believe. And can I say there may be some here that are slow to believe. We call those skeptics. We call those people that they're skeptical concerning what's going on. In other words, they just don't get it. They're not really there yet. They don't fully understand what's happening. They know the details, but they can't grasp it. They're skeptical about these details. And so what does Jesus do? He says, you ought to believe. You should believe these things. Verse number 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Boy, would that be a fun one to be at. Amen. Where Jesus himself takes the Old Testament, not the New Testament, the Old Testament prophets, and he opens it up, and from Moses all the way through, expounds to them Jesus himself in the Old Testament. Whew! So people say, Jesus isn't in the Old Testament. Well, apparently he is, amen, because Jesus found himself there, amen, amen. And he expounded to these guys all about himself, concerning himself on that rest of that road. Look at verse number 28. And they drew nigh unto the village. By the way, has their eyes been opened yet? No, not yet. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Like, oh, you guys are going here? Yeah, I'm going down to the next village. Staying on the highway. He would as if he would have kept walking. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he met at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Man, it's glorious. Amen. Verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. When you read the Bible, you need to be the fly on the wall, amen, watching these events as they unfold, as you read the detail of it. Can you imagine? I mean, they didn't want him to keep walking. They're like, "No, we want you to stay with us longer. That's amazing. All you know about the Bible? This is wonderful. You need to stay with us. It's getting dark out and all that. Why don't you come on and let us treat you for a night. You can stay with us and we'll do some eating and all that." They sit down, they break bread. And by the way, these people, we're going to find out, whoever these two were, they were well acquainted with Jesus on earth and his disciples. And I'll show you why in just a minute, how that's known. But nonetheless, they're there. Their eyes are finally open. They're sitting down with Jesus, and then he vanishes out of their sight. Look what they say about this in verse 32. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Okay, so we start off in verse number 16. It says their eyes were holding, that they did not know him. They knew the details. They knew the facts. They knew the story, if you will, but they were slow to believe. They didn't know how to process it. They didn't know how to make it their own, bring that unto themselves. They're walking along the way. Jesus joins them. He expounds to them the scripture. He preaches, if you will, Christ through the Old Testament. They get to their home. They invite him in. They break bread together. And now all of a sudden, they're ready. Their eyes are open. And in their testimony about what took place while he was talking was this: their heart burned within them as they began to hear the scriptures about Christ. Something was going on in them. How do you know when you're getting close to believing and receiving Christ and being willing to allow him to forgive your sins and make you a child of God? How do you know when it's your time to be a Christian? Because you become interested in the things of God. As the word of God is preached, it's no longer just something else going on in the room. It's no longer just another time to hear the guy get up there and yell at us a little bit and bring forth some scriptures and all that. And it's no longer just for that. It's the word of God begins to come alive to you. It begins to burn within you. You begin to see this isn't just the Bible. This is God speaking to me. Amen. And that's what was going on. And as they got interested, no longer slow to believe, but now they are seeing it for what it is. It is real. And they were willing to believe it, to receive it. It became exciting to them. It became effectual to them. And as soon as that happened, Jesus enabled them to see the scriptures with eyes of faith, and they believed. Amen? Tremendous. Look at verse let's go on to verse number 33. This is amazing. "And they arose up the same hour." Now, as I last recall from our story, it was getting late. And they said to Jesus, "You don't want to keep on going on because it's getting late, and you're not going to make it to your next destination before night falls. You might as well just stay with us," right? Well, they've had dinner since then, and all this has gone on. So it's got to be getting late up at this point. And I don't know what kind of streetlights they had, amen. I don't know if they were on photo cells or how they all worked, amen. But they probably didn't have much light out there on these roads. Does that make sense? All right. And so we find in verse number 33, "And they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem." What? They got up and said, "Man, we got to get back to Jerusalem. I mean, now. Now we got to get back." Why'd they do that? I'm guessing because they knew they just needed to go. Sometimes we just know we need to be somewhere. Amen? Can't explain it. I just know. I just know I got to be there. Amen? I had that experience with the tent. The first year there, I went there. After one time there, I just knew. This had never happened to me. I told my family, I was like, "We're going." Like, what? We have to. I can't tell you why. All I know is we're going. Why? Because God said, "Be there." All I could say was, "I know God's here." and I have to be here. That's all I could say. And now it's 4 years running, amen? And I just got to be there. I can't miss a night. I just can't, because God said, be there, amen? And I think that's kind of what we have in this case, is that the Lord just said, go there, and they went, in a sense, not audibly. They just knew. So they arose up the same hour. It wasn't like it was convenient. It's got to be getting dark about this point. And they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. Now, the reason we know they were somewhat connected is they knew the details from the testimony of the women and what they said unto the 11. They said unto the other disciples, the apostles. They knew those details. And remember, the apostles and disciples, where have they been since Jesus and all those events leading up to the crucifixion in these 3 days? Where have they been? They've been hiding. And why are they hiding? Because they were connected with one that was just condemned as a king. And what happens to those that are connected with a king that's killed? Typically, all those that are connected are also hunted down and killed, because they're potential for insurrection and overthrowing a government and all that. So they're hiding. They are afraid. And so only somebody that was close to them would have known where they're at. And so they hightail it back. And by the way, the city of Emmaus, where that was exactly and all that, there's about 6 different possibilities, different things. I know we have the furlong reference and all that, but it was at least 7 miles, at least 7 miles, and possibly longer. And so they traveled. They absolutely hightailed it and put on the running shoes, amen, and ran back to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and they are there in that room. Now, do you remember when Jesus appeared to the disciples the first time? It would have been that same night that he resurrected. Do you know that that's exactly where we're at here? The road to Emmaus took place the same day as Christ resurrected. So we have the resurrection. Well, we have the resurrection through the night, whatever. We have the stone rolled away. They go to the tomb. It's empty. And then Peter and John come. Of course, it's empty. These two guys head to Emmaus. Jesus meets with them. They have dinner with him. And then they hightail it back to Jerusalem to find the 11. It's still that same day. It's the evening of that same day. They're in that room that's all shut up, closed up. They're hiding in that room. They knew the secret knock. They had the secret password down. They had it down. And they were able to get in, amen. The door's shut again. It's all closed up. Look at back in our text, verse number 35. Verse number 30. Actually, let's look at verse number 34. And verse number 34 says this, saying, now let's jump back to 33. And they arose up that same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Now, this is interesting, because these two come back. They find the 11. They knew the secret knock. They get in. They're telling them all that just happened to them. You guys ain't going to believe this. We were on the road to Emmaus. This guy comes walking up, and on. They tell the whole story. They're absolutely excited about it, but they include a new detail here. They say, in verse number 34, and hath appeared to Simon. Nowhere else do we see that detail. We knew that Simon Peter, we knew Peter and John went in the empty tomb and the angel spoke with them, but we don't have any other account that says that Peter saw Jesus yet. But in 1 Corinthians 15, in reference to the resurrection and all that, it does mention in verse 5 and that he was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, then of the 12. So between that and this passage here in Luke 24, in verse number 34, we realize, now we don't have anything on that, but we know that somewhere between the garden tomb and this now, somewhere along the way, Jesus appears to Peter. And he apparently tells these two on the road to Emmaus that reality. And so they come back, they give that detail, verse number 35. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Man, what a day. Amen. What a day. The last time these two saw Jesus, they were breaking bread around the table, amen, and he ups and just disappears. And they go running back to Jerusalem. They find the 11. They tell them all that's going on. They're going through the details. They look up, and who's there? Closed room. Didn't even need the secret knock, amen. And there's Jesus. He's right there in that room now appearing, not just to them, but the other 11. He's there, amen. Pretty amazing. Verse number 37. Look at the response of the disciples, the apostles. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? This is amazing. And we're going to see why here in just a second, why this is amazing. Remember, before the two on the road to Emmaus, it was said of them that they were slow to believe. They were kind of affrighted. They were concerned. They were high-tailing out of town. You know that they didn't have business out of town because they were very quick to come back once that issue was resolved. They're back. Now they're in this room, and the apostles are afraid. They're terrified, it says, terrified and affrighted. And they're trying to reason through and what is this? We see this person here, but it can't be Jesus. And I would say, in a sense, those other 11 that were there, I think that their eyes were also holding about this point, because they were also not at the point of belief. And here's what's interesting about the gospel that you and I that are saved have to understand. People that are lost don't see this book like we see it. And we tend to do this. We tend to place how we feel, what we think, what we know. We tend to take that and put that on others and think that's how they think, they feel, and that's what they know. We tend to do that with everybody. Like if we come to a truth, we act like everybody knows that truth, right? If we've had an experience or think something's good, bad, or indifferent, we all of a sudden place that on others. But you have to understand that that's just not reality. Just because you've come to know something doesn't mean that somebody else has. And you may not know something, but someone else may know it. And because of that, how we relate with people becomes challenging. Amen? So these other 11 are there. The Lord appears. I don't think the two from Emmaus are struggling with who this is. So how do you know that? Their eyes are open. They were on the road. They ate with the Lord. He broke bread. He said, then their eyes open. I guarantee you the two from Emmaus aren't sitting there going, oh no, who is that? Right? Because their eyes are open. But the 11 absolutely are afraid of what's going on right now because of the situation. Amen. What keeps us from believing the scriptures? Verse 16, for the two on the road to Emmaus, was said their eyes were holden. They couldn't see. Verse 25 says they were slow of heart to believe. They couldn't believe. Their heart was slow to believe at that point. Amen. Think about this. It's been quite a day. It's Sunday. Early in the morning, was at the tomb. Christ appears. All that took place there at the tomb. I mean, absolutely amazing. The Lord appears to these two on the road to Emmaus. With superhuman speed, they make it back to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, Jesus appears to them in that closed room again. Think about all that is going on. Think about the apostles, all the news they're trying to process, all that's going on. This is amazing. And it says that they were terrified and affrighted. I just ask you this question. What would you be? What would I be in that situation? I mean, their whole world has been utterly turned upside down. And we're not used to people just appearing. When's the last time you were in some closed room and, oh, hey, how you doing? It's not happened to me recently. Amen. And so these events, and we can be hard on the apostles, but these events are, these are amazing events. Verse number 37 says, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Now, he asked those questions. In a sense, he's already said, peace be unto them. He asked these questions to just get them to stop and to think for a second and to focus. And this is what he does. He says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Jesus is very gracious here, and he knows what they've gone through, and he says, hey, wait a second, calm down. He said, let me show you something. And he shows them his hands, his feet. He says, it is I myself. But consider this next verse, verse 41. And while they yet believed not. I know the sentence continues. Let's just stop right there for a second. The reason they could not see was because they did not believe. Belief is not based on our ability to get it necessarily. Belief is based on our willingness to get it. A lot of people never become a Christian because they're not willing to believe the Word of God. You see, because believing this book has ramifications. If I believe this book, it's going to change my life. And you know it. How do you know it? Because you look at us. You see those that it's changed. Amen? Before I got saved, Dana knew me then. I don't know if Miss Carol knew me then. I don't think anybody else in this room knew me then. So you see me as who I am today. They know different. They know different. They knew who I was. Dana really knew. I don't even know why. What did you stick with me for? Anyway, she knew who I was. And those that I knew then knew who I was. And when I got saved and changed, it troubled them. You see, why? Because by extension, then if they got saved, it would change them. And here's the reality. A lot of you young people don't want changed. You don't want to be like a person like me. I get it. I don't even want to be me. But I do want to be like Jesus. Amen. And you young people think, if I get saved, my life's going to be boring. Because the devil's got you tricked into believing that you can only enjoy life if you're sinning while doing it. That's a lie. It's an absolute lie. It's like you going to a thief for financial counsel. It's like you going to a thief who's acting like he is an investment guy. That's really a good analogy. And you go and say, what should I do with my valuables? And he says, oh, you should entrust them to me, and I'll take care of them for you. And you young people are going to the world who, what happened to the prodigal when he went to the world? He bought the lie. Oh, look at that over there in the far country, man. They're living it up. I'm stuck in my dad's house here. All I'm doing is working for him, making him successful. Boring life. Look over. I can hear. It's like an amusement park over there. I hear the woo, ah, woo. Man, they're loving it. Look, wow. I can almost see it. That's it, buddy. I'm going. There was some stranger came through here and told me about how good it is over there. I'm gone. And he went to his dad all disrespectful and said, that's it, Dad, I'm done. I'm tired of living under your rules. I'm tired of you restricting me. I'm tired of it all. Give me my inheritance. And his dad was broken, but he said, that's fine. That's the road you want to go. I know I can't stop you. He didn't have to give him his inheritance, but he chose to. He gave it to him. And he went all the way to the far country, and he wasted his substance with riotous living. How did he find people in that far country that he could deposit his substance with? How? Because that's what you'll find in the world. It's people that will take and rob from you. Young lady, they'll rob your purity from you. Young man, your purity from you. By the way, the sex trade industry is not just a plight on women. It's also a trait on young men. You do realize, I'm not trying to be vulgar here, there's a growing market, young men, for you, because there's a lot of perverts out there that want young boys now. I'm sorry, it's the day we live. Them destroying you is profitable to them. And they don't care about you. And so this is the world, this is where we are at today. And so they will take everything that's valuable. But here's the fun part. You sit here and hear this and you say, oh, that'll never happen to me. Hey, you might just have to experience some things. You're going to have to experience enough things to where you become willing to see a different way. And I had to experience some things. And I don't want you to have to experience what I experienced. But I wasn't raised in Christianity. I never heard the gospel one time until I was 22 years old. But I will say this. It didn't matter. I was still just being used by the world and being wasted by the world. And when I heard the gospel, I had to be willing to hear it. And the day I became willing to hear it, it's the day I got saved. I was in this church here for a couple years before I became willing. For 2 years, I instead used it for how it could benefit me. And then after I realized that God didn't give me this book so that it could just be a benefit to me, he gave me this book so that he could know, so I could know his love for me, and that I would allow him to rescue me and make me a new creature, born again. You see, it took a couple years for that to take place. But when that happened, as soon as I became willing, then he opened my eyes and I was able to believe. Does that make sense? That's how it works. These in this room, their eyes, yes, they were disciples. Yes, they were there with Christ, but they still were living in unbelief at this point in reference to this. And then there's a word here for, and while verse number 41, and while they yet believed not, and it says for joy and wondered. That's an interesting phrase that's brought forth there. But that word for there is the word apo, and it's referring to, the word literally means off, away, separation. Here's what was going on inside of them, and this may be going on inside of some of you. They have all the, they and us, we have all the experience that we've experienced, and we try to process it. And while we try to process it, we depart for a time in mind. Did you ever talk to somebody and you're like, hello, where are you? Where are you at? I think you're on some other planet right now. You know, Earth to whoever you are, amen. Okay, that's what this word means. The disciples, after all this was happened, they're just trying to process it. And part of that processing was the prospect that what's being given them is true. And so for joy and wonder, They're seeing, listen, they were fearful. They were affrighted of what they were going through. But as these things began to be told them, they're processing it, and joy and wonder came to them as a possibility. That's a good day when that happens. When you are in the depths of your sin and there is no hope, all you can think about is you're feeling sorry for yourself, suicide, whatever. I just want to end it all. That is no hope. But when the Word of God comes and you begin to process it and you begin to get some hope, that's a good day. Because now you're beginning to get to that place on this road that you can believe. And you and I as soul winners better look for this. Amen? There has to become some hope in somebody before they're going to be willing to receive it. We want them to be under conviction, but then we also want to see them gain some hope. And that's what we see here in this text. And it says that in verse number, the latter part there, 40, 41, 42, it says, he said unto them, 41, have ye here any meat? This is interesting because it's almost like Jesus interrupted their pondering. Because there's only so long that somebody needs to ponder. And they've gotten to where there might be some hope. Jesus says, hey, guys, got any food? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And I'll tell you what, really, this really encourages me because Jesus is glorified here. And he's eating some cooked fish, amen, and eating some sweet honey. And that's a blessing, amen. Maybe we'll be able to do the same after we're glorified, amen. And he took it, and he did eat before them. Amen. And this would have removed any doubt that he was a spirit, but he was flesh and blood. Verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And that's where we're going to find the prophetic passages concerning Christ's life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. We're going to find them in the writings of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. We see this twice now in this text. First with the two on the road to Emmaus, and now with the disciples. For a time in their unbelief, they were not able to see it. They were not able to believe it. But once they saw a little hope and possibility, then Christ opened up their understanding and they got it. But they had to be willing first. Amen. What led to their understanding being open? I'm just going to read these off, seven things. Number one, they were in the right place. If you're not in the right place at the right time, you won't be there to hear the right message, the right place. They were with the right people. You can be in the right place, but with the wrong group, wrong crowd, and you ain't hearing anything. We see that, don't we? Oh, people over there talking back and forth, snickering. I really saw it at the tent. Amen. I was kind of in a position to see everything. Absolutely amazing. There's this one guy, every time he was there, he slept every night. Serious. I could walk. I tell you who it is right now. There's others. There was kids that were just giggling, laughing, all that. They weren't paying attention. I wasn't in a position to call them out then like I am now. Hallelujah. But it was amazing. So there were a lot of people that were in the right place, but they were with the wrong people. And because they were with the wrong people, they couldn't hear. Because, you know, with your cronies, and you might look, you know, weird if you tuned in and actually listened, right? So, right place, right people. They saw with their eyes something that could not be explained with natural means. In both of these cases, the road to Emmaus and those in that room, they saw something with their eyes that could not be explained. And part of that would have been what Jesus said, but especially his appearing and disappearing. But they began to see things they couldn't explain. And can I say today, we as Christians better be giving some people some things to consider that can't be explained. If all you are is some warmed over, rehabbed worldling, living like the world, living in the mess of the world, and you're no different, you're not showing them anything that can't be explained. But if you are, if something happened to you that can't be explained except God, now we're talking. The world needs to see something from us that's supernatural. You see, it's part of the process. Number four, They listened to what Jesus had to say. The only way you're going to get to that place you can believe is if you're willing to listen to what Jesus has to say. If you always have an answer for why it's not true, you ain't there yet. But if you'll open your ears and listen, now you're on your way. Number five, they considered the joy in reference to the life that they would have if these things were true. You need to consider how your life will be different if this is true. How will that affect your life? How will that affect young person? How will that affect everything? Who you marry, your children, potentially the conditions of that home. On and on and on and on and on. What you do for work. Consider it. Just consider it. And then consider this. What will life be like if I reject that message? Consider it. This is part of the process. God is not calling you to a blind faith. Come, let us reason together. Amen? I was raised in a divorced home, and I got tired of hearing my mom beat at night, glass breaking, and all that when I was 10 years old. I hated it. So that affected me, and I considered that. I never wanted to be married if that was going to be me. I didn't want to be that guy. Amen? It affected me. But being born again, now considering it, hey, marriage is good. Listen, if you get married out of the will of God and in this world, young lady, what do you think that guy's going to do to you? Young man, what do you think that woman's going to do to you? Why do you think the Bible talks about a corner of a housetop? You explore what life is like outside of Christ in this world. Go ahead. You explore it. Think about it. Amen. Don't listen to the thief trying to get your resources. See, enter into a real contemplation about these things. You have a brain? Use it. Amen. Number six, they were willing to believe. I ask you that question. Are you willing? If this is true, are you willing to believe it? That guy we were talking to yesterday, Anthony, he was willing to do and believe anything except this. I'm serious. Yes, Micah. He was willing. By the way, Charles Dawkins, same thing. Well-known atheist. Well, not atheist. He believes in something. But a lot of the scientific community, they'll believe anything's possible except God. Anything can be true except that Bible. That's what they believe. If that's where you're at, you're never going to be saved. You have to be willing to believe. Then number seven, then Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand. At that point, there's faith available for you to be saved. Very quickly and lastly, verse 46, and they said, said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The commission to go and preach was after their eyes were open concerning the truth. And I wonder if the reason why a lot of people aren't out there witnessing is because they're not quite convinced of it themselves. Man, it would be hard trying to witness to somebody if you didn't believe it yourself. If that's you today, the reality is that either you need to get saved or you need to be discipled and grow. Amen? And have those doubts answered. So do you believe the accounts of Christ concerning his death, burial, and resurrection so that then God can commission you? And number two, have you been commissioned to preach? Have you yielded to that ministry? God, as a believer, if you want to use me to tell someone else about Jesus, I'm willing. Amen? And that's what we see in this text. There's a whole bunch here. I hope that you got something from the message today. It's kind of a long drawn out right through this passage, but it's so cohesive, that whole account. I would urge you, spend some time in that text today if you have any questions and get with me. But this is amazing because it shows us at the point someone can believe. And it shows us when their eyes will be holding and they can't even see it. And you can spend all your time you want till you're blue in the face, amen, trying to show them a different way. Do you believe that you're a sinner? No, but the Bible says you are. I know, I don't really believe that. And then you try to show them this and show them that and all that. They still don't get it. Why? Because their eyes aren't open. But this shows us how their eyes can get open. Amen. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this time together. I thank you for those that are here. I thank you for the opportunities you give. And God, as we try to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, help us to realize that there's a whole lot of people today that they just can't believe right now. But God, we have opportunity to help maybe give them some hope, to give them some prospect, to help them to be confronted with where they're at as a sinner, but then also to show them what life is like for the believer. God, help us, I pray, to be able to communicate with the lost and with those that are doubting about Christ so that they can leave their unbelief and in their belief have their eyes open and receive this message that Christ would transform their life through it. Thank you, God, for this day. God, if there might be someone here that's lost, might they come today to be saved. God, if there's someone here that's been doubting, might they even come and let someone reason with them on how these things are truly right according to the Scriptures. Help us, I pray, this day in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a moment.